It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, it is 1900 UTC, everybody. So, this is DJ Marcus coming at you live and in person. I hope you're doing well. I am off tomorrow, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. And my meeting was finally able to get rescheduled. So now I have a meeting at 3, so that means from 2 to 2:30, my time anyway, I can do the show. Then I can go prepare for my 3 o'clock, and while I'm preparing, I can listen to Tobe. So boom. And in case you didn't know, I did happen to get some Black Forest ham. So it is delicious. A secret is if you slice it real thin, you can put it on sandwiches, and it's delightful. So just a heads up there for you. All right. Well, let's not type. Sorry, my microphone picks up the typing. I changed keyboards just because of that, but whatever. Such is life. So let's jump into some national headlines, U.S. headlines, real quick. So I didn't cover the first one, because it had been the first one in a long time, and I thought, okay, it's not going to be a trend, but the U.S. has carried out its second execution in a week, killing man that his lawyers say had dementia, saying he wasn't fit to be executed. In the U.S., it's like, if you're not able to understand why you're being executed, then you won't get that. Usually that's the get out of getting executed card, if you're not competent to understand. So the U.S., the federal execution, and so it was the second in a week by lethal injection. There used to be a 3-step protocol, but because other countries around the world have decided that capital punishment's bad, the U.S. can't buy it from anybody, and no one domestically is going to make it, because no one's making medicine for killing people. So surprise, surprise, it's down to one drug protocol. It's not necessarily humane, but that's where we're at. So the story coming to us from The Guardian says that Wesley Perkey was put to death at the federal correction complex in Terre Haute, Indiana. He spoke out against capital punishment from the execution platform, where he received the lethal injection, and apologized for the pain caused by his crimes to victims and his own family. Perkey was convicted of kidnapping and killing a 16-year-old girl, then dismembering and burning and dumping her body in a septic pond. And her name was Jennifer Long. He was also convicted in a state court in Kansas after using a claw hammer to kill an 80-year-old woman who had polio. Perkey was strapped to a gurney inside the execution chamber. A prison official removed a mask from his face and asked Perkey's face and asked him if he wanted to make a final statement. He leaned his head up slightly from the gurney and said, "I deeply regret the pain and suffering I caused to Jennifer's family. I'm deeply sorry." He also expressed remorse for his own adult daughter's suffering. "His action caused, I deeply regret the pain I caused to my daughter, who I love so very much." His last words were, "This sanitized murder really does not serve no purpose whatsoever. Thank you." And then he died at 8:19 U.S. East Coast time today. His spiritual advisor was in the room wearing a mask and a surgical mask and appeared to be praying. His gloved hands held together at the palms. So the key to all of this, the reason this is happening, is the U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way for execution to take place in a 5-4 decision. Where's the line I wanted? It was the federal government's second execution after a 17-year hiatus. Another man, Daniel Lewis Lee, was put to death on Tuesday after his 11th hour legal bids failed. Both executions were delayed into the day after they were scheduled as legal wrangling continued. So that's kind of wild. But yeah, capital punishment's real big in the U.S. So if you are not in the U.S., it might seem a little weird. But yeah, capital punishment's big in most states in the country. And the varying methods... varying methods are a bit rough. So don't commit or get accused of any capital crimes in the U.S. So that's one spot. But let's look at something positive. Because of all the lack of economic videos, or lack of all the economic activity, we've got low mortgage rates. That's right. In the U.S., the mortgage rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage dropped to 2.98%, and that's lower than 3, which is the lowest that it's ever been since 1971. And then the 15-year fixed rates went to 2.48%, and the 5-year hybrid adjustable rate had a rate of 3.06. So what's really great is that it's... What? Oh, sorry. I thought my time was off. I was like, wait, it is 1906 UTC. My internal clock is fighting my regular clock. But anyway, the important part is that the drop in rates has led to increased buyer demand, according to Freddie Mac. And that's great because the report noted that new COVID-19 infection have been a countervailing force, causing the economic recovery to stagnate. So rock bottom mortgage rates, the Federal Reserve keeps cutting interest rates, and then that makes it better. So, or better, it makes the ability to have lower mortgage rates higher. And so then, now if the mortgage rates are lower, people can afford larger houses or take out bigger loans, or maybe just afford that thing. So if you're looking to refinance, or if you already own a house, or have a mortgage, might talk to your banker. So let's go to something that's less, we're not going to do the COVID show today. It's Thursday, but we do need to mention here, CVS and Target are now going to start requiring face masks all over the country. So they're basically joining in and saying, hey, you need to wear a face mask if you're going to come into the store. This is coming today. Yesterday, Walmart, Kroger, and Kohl's said that masks would be mandatory in all their stores. And the, what's it called? The National Retail Federation called on retailers to require masks. So Best Buy Best Buy's in that group, and they're requiring masks now too. So just expect it. If you're going to a major retailer or anywhere really, the stores are going to start asking you or requiring you to wear a mask if you want to do business with them. Contra to this, in Alabama, no, excuse me, Georgia. In Georgia, the governor has signed an order saying that masks can't be required. They can only be suggested. And he signed an executive order saying that the city and counties cannot pass anything that is more stringent than what the state order is. So by doing this, they're basically saying, look, it's not enforceable, so we're not going to try. We're just going to encourage everyone to wear a mask. So this is kind of where it's nice the state and the businesses kind of can do their own thing. It's like the state can't charge you a fine, and at least in this one state, they can't charge you a fine. But if you want to go buy anything or do business anywhere, the private businesses can require you to, or your employer could require you to. So it's best just have a mask or sacrifice a t-shirt to make a mask, because this is going to be around for a while. But, you know, these times are changing. It happens. Let's jump into a song, because this is news to me. And we play music in between segments because we're trying to stay calm. And whenever I get worked up, it's time to play a song. Because you know what? You know what? You know what? You know what?
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Now, let's go ahead and talk about what we've all been waiting for. More death and destruction. Let's actually talk about, we've got some world news, which pretty much circles around, twirls around the coronavirus, COVID-19, aka SARS-CoV-2. And so here's what we got. So Canada, not that far away, but in Canada, a University of Toronto test, shout out to the Toronto people like Snowdesk, the U of T tests show Canadian-made mask deactivates 99% of the virus. So this is an antimicrobial coating that was developed by a Quebec company called 13 Biomedical, or it might be I3. It's a sans serif font, I can't tell. But Biomedical Inc., and it deactivates more than 99% of the virus that comes in contact to the masks. So what you end up with is, in this story, what you have is the mask, the virus can't survive on the mask and it gets killed. So then if you touch your face or touch the mask, you're not getting the virus onto your hands to deposit elsewhere. The story says, the scientists led by Professor Scott Gray Owen of the Department of Molecular Genetics and the Faculty of Medicine used the faculty's high-tech containment level 3 CL3 lab to test the efficacy of the TriomeD active mask's antimicrobial coating. Blah, blah, blah. They say that the novel coating deactivated more than 99% of the virus within minutes, a finding that could represent a huge boon for healthcare workers who are at risk of being contaminated with the virus by touching or adjusting their masks. Indeed, the coronavirus has been shown to present and to be present and infectious on the outer layer of masks for up to 7 days, according to a recent study published in The Lancet Microbe. And The Lancet The Lancet was another one of our Corona stories was published in just recently, so shout out to them. And it looks like we don't want to be too sad, but I guess let's talk about still Corona time though. Sorry, buddy. Right now, so Canada is reporting that nearly 5,000 citizens tried to enter Canada for shopping and recreation. So the Canadian Border Service Agency says that more than 10,000 U.S. citizens have been turned away during the pandemic, and almost half of them were hoping to enter Canada to shop, go sightseeing, or simply for recreation. So U.S. still doesn't have the memo. More than 500 Americans were sent back home after they said they were coming to Canada. During the time that they were in total lockdown. Yeah. So, super interesting stuff there. Now, this is why, and the reason I wanted to talk about what they were doing in Canada was because the Colombians, I think, have figured it out. And that's basically, this is pretty not cool, or this is pretty wild, but basically in Colombia, drug cartels and rebel groups are imposing their own lockdowns. And that's right, if the mafia or the cartel says don't go out without a face mask and stay inside during these hours and you don't, they just kill you. So yeah, drug cartels and rebel groups are imposing their own bloody coronavirus lockdowns across Colombia and killing those who do not obey, according to a report by the Human Rights Watch. At least 8 civilians have been murdered by armed groups, some of them holdovers from Colombia's half-century civil war, which are using WhatsApp chats and pamphlets to warn citizens of the lockdown in the rural areas where they operate. In Tumaco, an impoverished and violent port city on the Pacific coast, residents are banned by gangs from fishing, limiting their ability to earn money and food. A 5 p.m. curfew, far stricter than the measures imposed by the government, is also forcing street vendors inside. Across the country, violent gangs are stopping people from leaving their homes at all, even when sick, according to humanitarian workers cited in the report. In 2 provinces, Cauca and Guaviare, armed groups have torched the motorcycles of those who ignored their restrictions. They've shut down transport between villages, and when someone is suspected to have COVID-19, they are told to leave the region or they will be killed. One community leader in Colombia's southern Putumayo province told The Guardian, on condition of anonymity, and people have no choice but to obey because they never see the government here. So this is not necessarily the way that you should enforce it, but if you had this kind of lawlessness where the cartel is running it, I'm pretty sure you're going to get a lot higher compliance rates. So it's very sad that it's happening, but it's also, it's awful. It's hard either way, but we're just going to take deep breaths because getting agitated is not what we do on News to Me. We don't get worked up. And if we start to get worked up, we play a song, and you play a song and you try and make it something that will not make you more grumpy. So that's what we do. And so we're just going to head on down to the corner with my buddy Clearedence, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. So much less stressed. I feel like I'm back in the good space. And, you know, instead of technology news, we can, you know, I can handle feedback, you know. It's, you know, not everyone wants to hear about all the death, which is fine. Lots of people dying. But guess who's not dying? People in New Zealand, for the 10th day in a row, they do not have any new cases of COVID-19. Oh yeah, way to go. People down under, keeping it locked down. So, total number of confirmed cases remains at 1,154, which is what they reported most recently. So, the number of cases remains unchanged. Only one case remains active. There are no additional deaths to report. So, magic. Thank you. Thank you. We'll get through this. And it's actually pretty cool because there are reports from routers out of Rome that the new coronavirus is losing its potency and has become much less lethal, a senior Italian doctor said on Sunday. In reality, The virus clinically no longer exists in Italy, said Alberto Zangrillo, the head of the San Rafael Hospital in Milan. The swabs that were performed over the last 10 days showed a viral load in quantitative terms that was absolutely infinitesimal compared to the ones carried out a month or 2 months ago. Italy has the third highest death toll in the world, with 33,415 people dying since it came to light. It is the sixth highest global tally of cases. However, new infections and fatalities have fallen steadily. So, that's fantastic news. And he's urging people to get back to being a normal country. He said someone has to take responsibility for terrorizing the country. What? Okay, sure. I guess that was his aside to the reporter. The government urged caution, saying it was far too soon to claim victory. So, that's pretty cool. I had to go into the office today. I hadn't been in several months. And they didn't even do a temperature check. They just said, hey, have you had any of these symptoms in the last 10 days? I said, no. And they gave me a sticker and said, okay. So, they've definitely relaxed. They're already relaxed more than they were before. The previous time I went in the office before that, I had to get a temperature check and answer a bunch of more questions. So what are you going to do? It's good though. Let's talk about some more positivity. Let's be happy. In the BBC, we've got coronavirus report. Smokers are quitting in the highest numbers in decades. So more than 1 million people have given up smoking since COVID-19 hit. A survey by Action for Smoking and Health. Of those who had quit in the previous 4 months, 41% said it was in direct response to coronavirus. Separately, University College London found that more people quit smoking in the year to June 2020 than in any year since they began their survey in 2007. So, there we go. That's pretty cool. It's good that people are getting healthy or being at least making efforts to do that. So, that's good. Heck yeah. Well, we got about 2 minutes or so to go before DB Skulls Committee, which is a rad show. You gotta listen to that. But let's look at one more. Let's find one more positive, happy story. Let's see. Oh, look. Here's happynews.com or something. Here we go. Good news. In the USA. Boop, boop, boop. Well, shucks. I guess I will just tell you the sad story that I had because I'm out of happy feel-good stories. And that's a Dutch town has ended its sister city agreement or ties with its Polish twin because it declared itself a gay-free zone. So a Dutch town has severed its long-standing ties with its twin in Poland after the Polish municipality established itself as an official gay-free zone. The town council of Nieuwegein, south of Utrecht, voted almost unanimously to end its friendship with Polawi in eastern Poland. So, heck yeah. The municipality is 80 miles from Warsaw and is one of the 100 that had vowed to discourage tolerance and avoid providing financial assistance to organizations that promote rights. So, yeah, we knew Poland had some issues with the way it treated with civil rights for women in the LGBT community, but now we got some extra. So, but that was cool. I think we'll be here. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.